Well, welcome to another week of The Expert Fan. I am your host, Adam J. LeCascio, and I want to welcome you back after Week 5 is now in the books. A fairly interesting Week 5, I will say. Only really one game was on TV here in the Tampa market here, but it really wasn't all that exciting for me. But I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad we can put together another show for you to listen to at your leisure. Oh man, a lot of stuff happened in this past week. We lost Aaron Garcia for the year to a very gruesome broken leg, and if you read through the media reports on what happened, everyone is saying that they heard it snap or pop or crack or whatever, and someone was actually kind enough to put the picture up on one of the message boards, and it was absolutely disgusting. I don't know exactly how I can describe it, but I guess the best way to describe it would be Aaron Garcia has two knees, and it is not pretty. Anyway, that's going to put a big damper on the Dragons' plans for the season, so who knows how they're going to bounce back. But one of the league's premier quarterbacks is now done for the season. Oh, what else do we have here? Shane Stafford from the Tampa Bay Storm became the first quarterback in arena football history to pass for back-to-back 400-yard games. He did it 2 weeks ago against Orlando, and he did it again against the Austin Wranglers. What an accomplishment. Congratulations, Shane. I also have some things I want to gripe about here. The Olympics is now over, and naturally, if you were watching NBC, you got a nice fill of that. Had some power polls we wanted to take a look at here, and naturally, we're also going to have our pick segment here at the end of the segment, and boy, do I have some gloating to do about the picks from last week, and we're going to go over those as well. So sit back, relax, I hope you enjoy the show, and we're going to tackle these topics one at a time as we head into week 6 of the AFL. Well, the big news this week is New York Dragons quarterback Aaron Garcia breaking his leg during the Orlando Predator game last week in Nassau Coliseum. I don't know if you guys have gotten a chance to see the picture of it, but if you go to the Arena Football website, the main website for the league, on the message board in the Eastern Division, there someone was actually posted a link to a photo of the actual break. Someone actually got a photo of it. And to describe where it is, it's actually in like the shin area is where it was broken. And it is a clean break right across, and you can see it as his, I guess you'd call it like the lower shin area, is literally like bent at like 45 degrees, and it was no surprise that he actually needed surgery to have that corrected. This wasn't something that you can just pop a cast on or be ready in 6 weeks. He's going to be done for a very long time here. And without a doubt, he is done for the season. Justin Wood is a rookie out of Portland State, and he's going to fill in for Garcia as he is on the mend. But what does it basically mean for that whole division over there? The Dragons have basically had their run of the division, but it seems like once they step outside of the division, they end up getting their bells rung. So who knows? Maybe we're suffering from a case here of maybe Garcia trying to shoulder too much of the load over there, and maybe the fresh blood will maybe inject a little life into the New York Dragons, and they can get out of the first round in the postseason. But it was just a gruesome, gruesome injury to see. And it reminded me of that injury that happened, I believe it was in the Super Bowl, when it was the 49ers versus the Bengals. And I want to say it was Super Bowl 18, I think it was. What ended up happening was one of the Bengals' offensive linemen was blocking and his leg was sticking out behind him, like he was, you know, like drive blocking. And someone, another lineman, pulled and bumped his leg and snapped it. And, well, in the tasteful fashion, that is the television media, they actually showed it about, 75 times to make sure that everyone got a good look at it. Anyone who was eating pizza promptly threw up. So it was pretty disgusting. Anytime that you end up with a second kneecap, that is definitely, definitely bad. But we hope Aaron Garcia gets better, and we hope that he returns next season. And I'm sure that he'll be back. He is one of the tougher players in the league, and he has just taken some unbelievable shots over time. And to see him get up and actually go back to the huddle after some of the things that he's been through, I've been amazed. I remember last year, New York came to Tampa Bay, and he was sacked on one play and had his like chin busted open, and he ended up needing like 15 or 16 stitches in the bottom of his chin, and yeah, he didn't go during the game to get that done. He came back. He actually stayed in and played the entire game with that ripped up chin the way it was. And I remember you can see it because I was sitting in the second level for that game. You could actually see like the gauze in his chin strap holding the skin together. I mean, it was. It literally looked like someone took like a pair of balled up tube socks and just taped it to the bottom of his chin strap to make sure that he wasn't bleeding all over the place. But this is one tough guy, and no doubt he is actually going to be he will be back next year. He was saying in one of the media reports that he's going to try and make it back this season from surgery and a broken leg. I don't see how you can do it. We're going into week 6 right here, and it's an 11-week healing process, they said. If that's going to be the case, yeah, he could probably make it back for the playoffs, but to be honest, how effective are you going to be? Aaron, I know you've got a lot of pride, and I know you're playing in New York, but do the world a favor. Just stay out for the season. Don't try and rush yourself back, because the last thing anyone wants to see is you re-injuring that leg and you end up having to retire for one reason or another. I mean, you're going to be the first quarterback to hit 800 touchdowns in a career. That's just sick, man. That's you want to get to that milestone, and you don't want to have to force yourself back early and not get it. So, Aaron, we hope you get better. We hope you're back on the field next season, but don't do anything dumb, okay? Come on, this league is short enough on superstars. Well, speaking of superstars, Tampa Bay Storm quarterback Shane Stafford became the first quarterback in AFL history to throw for 400 yards in back-to-back games. He did it 2 weeks ago against Orlando, and then he followed up that performance with another 400-yard performance against the then-undefeated Austin Wranglers. The Wranglers, who were 4-0 going into the game, unfortunately dropped that game to the Storm at the St. Pete Times Forum, but Stafford was able to throw for over 400 yards again against that Austin defense. Now, there's been much debate about Austin because they were 4-0. They were a big surprise this season. But my question about that is they did beat 3 1-3 teams. They only beat one team with a winning record. So their record was a little bit inflated there. But still, to get to 400 yards, a lot of things have to happen here. Now, the color man for the Tampa Bay Storm, Jason Dixon, said that one of the things that you have to do is you have to have really lousy field position so you can have a lot of yards to throw for. Well, the Storm, unfortunately, have not had a lot of luck in the special teams department. They're having a little trouble finding a person to return kicks. Freddie Solomon is still out. He can't be back there. They don't have Cliff Dell anymore to do it. They've kind of switched between Jonathan Ordway and Linares Elpage, but unfortunately, neither of them are having any luck fielding the kick off the net, and it's causing a lot of problems because all of the Storm's drives are starting like inside their own 5-yard line, and it makes it impossible for them to get any kind of field position. Now, while that's bad for the team, as far as Stafford's fantasy numbers go, it's been good for him because he's got more room to work, and he's throwing for 8 and 9 touchdowns a game with all this yardage in front of him. So Stafford is basically, you know something, this is going to sound a little bit strange, but I would vote for Shane Stafford for one of the Iron Man awards this year. I have to tell you, I think that he would actually garner an Iron Man award.
What the devil are you talking about?
Well, if you think about it, Stafford isn't just playing quarterback. Stafford's actually the kick returner as well, because the yards that the kick returner is actually responsible for picking up is actually going to Stafford, because he has to pass his way out of that hole. Now, luckily, his offensive line's actually been giving him enough time to dig himself out of that, and he hasn't been sacked for safety or anything like that, and I think he's only been sacked like two or three times on the season. It has not been... Stafford's been pretty clean after the games, but he is actually doing two jobs. He is getting the yards that the kick returner is supposed to be getting, and he's getting the yards that he's supposed to be getting as a quarterback. So, you know something? I would, as a journalist, yeah, I would vote for Stafford for an Iron Man award, even though he plays a skill position. He's technically a specialist, but you know what? Here's a guy who's doing two jobs, because, well, basically, he has no real choice to do it. Now, Shane, I can call him Shane, has been quietly making a name for himself here over the past 2 years, but you know something? He's not the kind of player that garners a whole lot of attention for some reason, which I don't get, because Shane Stafford's the kind of guy who you want in the limelight. You want him to be the guy that people are going to look to. I mean, there's nothing not to like about the guy. I mean, he's got that, like, you know, golden boy image. He is very active in the community. He reads to children at a cancer center here in Tampa. Not to mention the fact that he's just had a phenomenal season, actually two seasons in a row. He is a integral part of the team. Everyone likes him. His coaches love him. But for some reason, when you look at the front page of these AFL magazines, you don't see Shane Stafford's picture. You see John Bon Jovi. You see John Elway. You see Corey Fleming. You see all these people, but you see everyone but Shane Stafford. I don't understand that. Why? Why is it that no one wants to pay attention to him? Well, I got news for you. You're going to have to stand up and pay attention to the guy, because he is basically having a season for the ages right now. He has the opportunity to pass Jay Gruden for total touchdowns, for career touchdowns and career completions. And Jay is a Hall of Famer, okay? Here's a guy who's starting to creep up on a lot of people who have earned a lot of respect in this league. You're going to have to start paying attention to him sooner or later. He's been to the playoffs every season he started as the Storm quarterback. He's the first quarterback to ever lead his team as a 12 seed to a first-round playoff victory. That was a couple of years ago against Los Angeles. Really, the only thing that I think is missing from Shane's resume, and I'm sure that he will be the first one to tell you this, is he's missing a ring. He needs to win an Arena Bowl. The guy has done everything. Statistically, he scores touchdowns. He throws for touchdowns. The guy is just a phenomenal athlete. He's a phenomenal figurehead in the community. You will never, ever, I have never heard Shane raise his voice. And here's a guy who just leads by example, and he's a perfect fit for this team, but unfortunately, we're just not paying attention to him. You people need to stand up and start paying attention to Shane Stafford, because he is the next big thing. And I think he's the next poster child for this league. When people want to start looking for someone in the league as a face, we need to stop, get away from John Elway and get away from John Bon Jovi, and you got to start looking for somebody like a Shane Stafford. And by the way, he's the guy who won the quarterback skills challenge at the Arena Bowl last year and ended up taking home a plasma TV. So the guy's he's a fun-loving guy. He deserves to be at the forefront of the league. He is the league's Brett Favre. Okay? The guy, he should be the Brett Favre of this league. And I am not a Green Bay fan, but I know how much coverage he gets. But this is the guy who needs to be at the forefront. And this is the type of player, I'm not even going to say Shane is it, this is the type of player that the league needs to push in order to get them into the limelight. Quit paying attention to all the owners and start pushing some of the players. And a guy like a Shane Stafford, a guy like a Clint Dolezel. These guys are people that need to be, that we need to pay attention to, and these are the people that should be the face of the league. Yes, so Shane leads the Storm over the Austin Wranglers and knocks them from the ranks of the unbeaten. Now everyone has at least one loss, and everyone has at least one win. There's a log jam in the middle there. There's a lot of 3-2 teams and a lot of 2-3 teams right now, but I got some major questions here about something that, well, actually I'm guilty of, but it's something that seems to be, that just kind of comes for, just kind of comes to the forefront, and everyone pays attention to it, but you know something, it's really something that, it really makes no difference in the league whatsoever, but yet so many people pay attention to it, and people get really riled up about it. I think it's actually kind of funny, but it's true. It's true. One of the things that I think is actually pretty funny is the fact that everyone pays so much attention to these power poles. For some reason, these power poles get people riled up. And I think it's funny because a power pole is actually the most meaningless thing in the world. It really has no play. It really has no a bearing on the league. It has no bearing on the season. It's basically just some writer's opinion. Now, why am I saying this? Well, to tell you the truth, I'm one of the people who actually participates in these power polls, and I have a vote in one of them, in the Shut Sports power poll. But one of the things I don't get about these power polls is, how do you come up with these rankings for people? And some of them just don't make any sense at all. Now, at least I have a forum here where I can kind of explain what it is that my power poll represents and why I have teams in certain places. But I'm looking at the power poll here that was posted on March 1st, 2006 on the main Arena Football website by Mike Rose. Now, if you don't know who Mike Rose is, Mike Rose actually covers Colorado. He covers the Colorado Crush out in Denver. I read his power poll pretty much every week because, well, quite frankly, the website just kind of thrusts it in your face, okay, and you really don't have much of a choice but to read it.
Mm.
Yes, I swear to God. Now, the power poll that he comes up with here, I'm trying to figure it out, and I want you guys to help me out here, figuratively, that is, because I know that none of you can call me because I don't have a phone, and even if I did, we wouldn't be able to hear you anyway. Here's his power poll. I'm just going to run through these real quick. 1, Nashville. 2, Colorado. 3, Austin. 4, Georgia. 5, Philadelphia. 6, Chicago. 7, Dallas. 8, New York. 9, Tampa Bay. And 10, Orlando. Okay? Now, Nashville I'll agree with. Okay? I think Nashville deserves to be number 1. As a matter of fact, I voted them number 1. Number 2, I have Colorado. I think Colorado should be number 2 just based on their 4-1 record, and they basically handled the soul on the road, made them play from behind the entire game, made them play from behind, and the soul were just absolutely confused because the soul know how to win with defense. And I just found it ironic that one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and Tony Graziani, was so perplexed he didn't know how to bring his team from behind. Now, third, he's got the freaking Austin Wranglers, okay? Now, I want you to read, this is what Mike Rose says here. The Wranglers put forth a solid effort in their loss at Tampa last Sunday and firmly entrenched the idea of them being for real in my mind. Many have taken their shots at the Wranglers early on, but make no mistakes, these guys will be in the postseason for the first time in franchise history. They uncharacteristically turned the ball over too much against Tampa, and that ultimately cost them the victory. Finally, the end of their prolonged road trip has arrived, and a win at Georgia just might finally keep the naysayers quiet. Okay. This is a guy, let me just take this one sentence at a time, put forth a solid effort in their loss against Tampa, okay? Solid effort. Then he goes on to say, they uncharacteristically turned the ball over too much against Tampa, and that ultimately cost them the victory. Excuse me, I believe it was 5 turnovers, 3 picks and 2 fumbles. Maybe 3 picks and 1 fumble. Okay, that doesn't sound like sound to me, okay? Now, here's a team that has beaten one team with a winning record, They played another team that was 500, and they got smacked. Okay, not only did they get smacked, but they got forced into a whole bunch of mistakes, and they looked really bad. Okay, now I'm going to go all the way down to Tampa Bay. Okay, Tampa Bay was number 9 in Mike Rose's poll last week. They're still number 9, despite beating an undefeated team who the author says put forth a solid effort in their loss at Tampa last Sunday and firmly entrenched the idea of them being for real in my mind, okay? So here's a team that he says is for real that gets beaten, and then the team that beats them gets absolutely no credit. The Storm bounced back with a huge win over division rival Austin and took their first step towards getting another home winning streak going. QB Shane Stafford passed for a gargantuan 424 yards and became the first AFL QB to pass for 400-plus yards in consecutive games. The defense held the Wranglers to 250 total offensive yards and forced 4 turnovers, sparking the Storm's offense en route to a huge divisional home win. Huge divisional home win. Forced 4 turnovers. Passed for 424 yards. It doesn't move them up in the power poll. I don't get that at all, okay? Makes absolutely no sense to me. Here's a team that beats what he admits is a solid team, is going to go to the playoffs. They don't move, okay? The team that he calls solid gets beat, gives up four turnovers, and all of a sudden they're going to the Arena Bowl. I don't get this, okay? Now, here's some other funny stuff here. In the middle of the mix here, he's got Georgia, who's 3-2, who incidentally lost to the Storm, and they're 5 spots above Tampa Bay with the same record. Philadelphia, 3-2, he has at number 5, who lost, and they only dropped them down to number 2. Now, Dallas, for some weird reason, who's been playing very impressive football right now, wins last week. They're number 7. They moved up from number 8. The least impressive win of the week goes to the men in blue and white, who had a comfy 48-21 lead over Las Vegas in the fourth quarter, but had to hold on for dear life as the Gladiators stormed back, and they only lost 55-48. Okay. But still, 4-1, so they had a little bit of a flat game. You still have Chicago 3-2, Philadelphia 3-2, the Forest 3-2. You have all these 3-2 teams ahead of them who are in better, who are not playing as good a football as them. Now, to tell you the truth, I can sit here the entire night and rip apart this power poll. But to tell you the truth, I do the exact same thing every single week with Mike Rose. Okay, Mike, man, put down the pipe. Okay, I have never seen somebody who's so unbelievably backwards in my life. Your poll has absolutely no logic to it. Why don't you explain what it is that you're doing? I'm not saying you're wrong, okay? You might have a very legitimate reason why you're putting these teams where they are, but I want you to do something for me. Come out and say why you don't move Tampa Bay up when they beat the only undefeated team in the league by 10 points. Tell me why you're doing that. Tell me why you've got teams that have beat other teams head-to-head ahead of others. I can understand Philly being ahead of Tampa Bay. I don't understand Georgia being ahead of Tampa Bay. Please figure it out and inform the rest of the world before we all go nuts. Well, while we're on the subject of power polls here, let's go ahead and jump into my power poll here. One that actually, well, let's just come out and say it, one that actually makes sense.
Thank God.
Yes, it does. So, without further ado, let's jump right in here. Number one, I've got Nashville. Nashville has been impressive lately. They're winning with offense, they're winning with defense, they're winning with special teams, and man, I gotta tell you, do I miss T.T. Tolliver right now. Number two, we've got Colorado. Colorado, who beat the soul on national TV last week. If you were on the East Coast, that is. You got to see that game. Colorado was playing a little bit behind throughout most of the first half and a little bit of the third quarter, but they got a couple of turnovers, they got a couple of stops, and then they ended up forcing them to go, they ended up pulling ahead of Philadelphia, and they were able to hold Philly at bay, and hang on for the win there. I'll tell you one thing, though. I saw some of the game on TV, but then I ended up leaving my sister's house, and I was listening to the game on Sirius. It was actually the Philadelphia broadcast. If you ever get a chance to hear Philadelphia's broadcast of an AFL game, and you have to do it for just entertainment value. The announcer for Philly has a lisp, and it is absolutely hilarious listening to him talk, because his S's sound like this. So he's trying to call the game, and he's talking about, and the pass is complete to the sidelines. I was listening to this guy in the car, and I swear I couldn't stop laughing. It was so funny. I mean, if you're going to put a guy on the air to do play-by-play who has a lisp, the color man should at least have a stutter, okay? So that way there's sort of like a comedy team. Number three, I've got the Dallas Desperados, followed by number four, the Tampa Bay Storm. I put the Storm up at number four because they beat an undefeated team, and by Mike Rose's count, remember, Austin is the real deal, okay? Right behind Tampa Bay, I've got Georgia, and I've got Georgia there because, well, quite frankly, Tampa Bay beat Georgia. I've got Austin after Georgia, followed by the Dragons, and then the Philadelphia Soul. Now, why do I have the Philadelphia Soul ranked at number eight? Well, they lost at Colorado. They were leading the entire game, and then once they got behind, they looked really confused. They lost at home, too, to the defending champions, and it just looked they looked a little hokey. As you know, if you've been listening to this podcast for the past few weeks, I am not sold on Philadelphia. I don't like Philadelphia. I think that they're a hype machine, and quite frankly, I think they're going to be, the playoff field is pretty large. I think they're going to be one of the lower-seeded playoff teams, and they're going to be a one-and-done and gone. Number nine, I've got the Orlando Predators, the poor Predators who are beat to all hell. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like it's getting much better. Jimmy Frizzell was hurt during the Dragons game, so we'll see if he makes it back next week. Number 10, I've got the Chicago Rush, followed by the Utah Blaze, and the Columbus Destroyers at number 12. So that's my top 12 list there. Pretty impressive, don't you say? Well, at least I know why I have my pick here on, Mr. Mike Rose.
About shutting the hell up!
Well, you know, one thing at a time, okay?
Here.
Hey, and while we're on the subject here, and we spent a little time talking about Philadelphia and Colorado, I'm going to basically take a cheap shot here at NBC one more time. Like I said, I was watching that Colorado-Philadelphia game on NBC when I was at my sister's house. It's actually at my nephew Hunter's 5th birthday party, which, man, birthday parties for kids have gotten really out of control. He had, a big bounce house, and he had a piñata, and, by the way, I'm very proud of the kid. They had this piñata there that was hanging from a tree out in the backyard. My nephew takes keep in mind, he's 5, and he's tiny, too. He's, very thin, unlike his uncle. But he takes a broomstick, and my brother-in-law hangs the piñata from this tree. They blindfold a kid. One single whack. He went to town on this piñata like Barry Bonds. He hit this thing clean, okay? And to tell you the truth, you're going to ask me, well, what was the piñata in the shape of? It really wasn't anything. It was like a big ball. It looked like a disco ball, to tell you the truth. He takes one shot at this piñata, right? This thing doesn't just break open, it explodes. And he sent candy about 20 yards in every direction, okay? This was not a pretty piñata scene. But I'm proud of the kid because he took a huge whack at the thing, and I think he's got a huge future in baseball. But anyway, back to what I was saying. I was at my sister's house watching this game, and since I was at my sister's house, I didn't have access to the computer, so I couldn't check scores, and I couldn't see how other teams were doing. I get to halftime of the game, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to watch halftime and see if we can pick up some other scores. Mainly, I want to know the score of what the Orlando-New York game was. Well, they get to halftime, and Jim Lampley comes on from Italy, from Torino, where the Olympics were, and were there any AFL highlights? Nope. Were there any score updates? Nope. Was there any information about the AFL at all during halftime of an AFL game? Nope. I was sitting there waiting and waiting for them to tell me the score of another game. I even waited throughout the most of the second half for like a sports ticker. There was no ticker at the bottom to tell you what the other scores were. There was nothing. Halftime for the Colorado-Philadelphia game this weekend was the top 10 moments from the Olympics. And this is the funny part about the whole thing. Not having AFL scores during an AFL game would be like if you were watching, let's say you were watching Fox NFL Sunday, and they broke in with who won the third race at the dog track. It was so unrelated. I was like, why are you completely changing subjects like this? Well, they showed the top 10 moments from the Olympics. And what I thought was hilarious about that was the fact that, like, six of the top 10 moments from the Olympics were, like, accidents. Like, people falling off their skis and figure skaters falling on their face and busting their head open. I think that top 10, even though it was, I didn't want to see it, but even though they showed it, I think that that top 10 list really summed up the Olympics and how unbelievably boring it was. As an AFL fan, you know I'm going to say, hey, put more AFL on, okay? We didn't need to see curling. We didn't need to see the freaking biathlon. We didn't have to see any of that garbage. But they showed it to us, and even when they were trying to come up with highlights of the events that they were trying to pimp, they couldn't do anything better than people falling on their rear ends, which is, I thought it was pretty much self-explanatory. But NBC, you're doing a lousy job covering the AFL. You're wasting everybody's time with it. It was a self-agreement. We certainly appreciated the fact that you wanted to pick it up and we wanted a television contract and you wanted your games. Well, you know, we really were impressed with it. And you know what? You had Seinfeld at one time, but basically you're the fourth network right now, okay? And you're not doing too much to help your situation, so...
Unacceptable.
Okay. Do us a favor, don't renew the contract next year. I'd rather see Spike TV pick it up. I mean, at least they have experience with, like, wrestling and something like that. They at least know how to do sports. There's a reason why you don't get football anymore, NBC. It's because you suck, alright? Well, one thing that doesn't suck, unlike NBC, is me.
The devil are you talking about?
Well, the truth is that last week during our pick segment, if you paid attention to this podcast, I picked an amazing 9-0 picking winners from last week's games. Picked Columbus, picked Georgia, Tampa Bay, Nashville, Dallas, Utah, Chicago, New York, and Colorado. 9-0.
Excellent.
Yes. An unbelievable week for me. I'm getting to the point where I'm thinking about starting one of those 800 numbers where you can call and you get the free picks of the week, you know? It's like, Adam is amazing, 9-0 when picking winners, and he can give you the information that you need to beat the spread this week. Tired of being a loser every week? Well, call 1-800-GET-AFL and talk to Adam and get his lock of the week. The line says it's Tampa Bay by 3, but Adam has inside information that says he can help you beat the spread. It's guaranteed. On a recorded message, call the 800 number now. Yeah, you've heard those things all over the radio, but I think that it's time that I start one for the AFL.
Stop mocking me!
Well, I think it's about time. 9-0, I think that's something worth writing home about. And I have to admit, it doesn't really get me anything. But I'm pretty impressed with myself. Yeah, I'm pretty impressed with myself. And I'm going to enjoy this for, at least a little bit longer until I can pick this week's game and basically screw it up for screw up my perfect record. So
yada yada yada.
Well, it's important, and we're going to see what we can do here. So let's take a look at the games coming up this week. First game on March 3rd, which is on Friday night, Columbus takes on the Dragons in Nassau, and it is the Dragons' first game without Aaron Garcia. Well, Columbus has actually been doing okay lately. They're on the wrong side of the win-loss column, but they won last week. They beat Arizona, and they're playing some pretty decent football. They do have some good players up there. They've got John Kaleo. They've got David Saunders. They're doing pretty well for themselves, and they're going to take on a Dragons team that's probably going to be still trying to find its feet without their starting quarterback. I know it's going to be a road game, and I know it's going to be tough, and I know it's a short week for them, but I'm going to go with Columbus, and I'm going to call that an upset. So I think Columbus is going to beat the Dragons in New York this weekend. Unfortunately, it'll be a rough start, but look for the Dragons to bounce back in a week or two as they start to find their feet there. Next game is going to be Austin at Georgia, and I seem like I'm saying this every single week, but Georgia, their stadium, their fans, it is a tough place to play. And Austin is coming off a monster road trip. They got roughed up in Tampa Bay last week, and it's not going to get any easier when they go to Georgia. Chris Jackson, unfortunately, is a little bit nicked up right now. He does not look like he is going to play, although if I know anything about Chris Jackson, he will play. As long as he's got one functioning leg, he'll actually be out there on the field for Georgia. But Georgia's defense is what's been winning them games. They held Kansas City to under 20 points last week. Now, it's hard to say if that was a difficult task or not, but it doesn't matter. In this game, you hold somebody under 3 touchdowns, that's impressive. I think that Georgia could get after John Fitzgerald, and I'm looking for Austin to drop. After winning 4 straight, I think they're going to drop 2 in a row here. So I'm going to go with Georgia over Austin at home this season, or at home this week, excuse me. Next game, San Jose at Utah. San Jose has just had a bear of a time for some reason this season. I don't know why. It looks like it's because of their offensive line. They can't keep Mark Grieve upright. He can't get the ball to the receivers, and the defense is just not doing anything to help them out. Utah is Joe Germain, and Joe Germain has been a pretty decent surprise for the league this year. He's one of the top-rated passers in the league. They're playing at home, and San Jose, unfortunately, is just reeling right now. So I'm going to take Utah over San Jose at home, and look for Joe Germain to have a huge game here. I think it's going to be pretty impressive. Next, Nashville at Arizona. Nashville, who has been ultra hot, versus Arizona, who lost to Columbus last week. Nashville takes this one hands down. No sense in playing that one out any longer than we have to. Los Angeles travels to Orlando. Now, this one's an interesting one. If you remember the last time these two teams played in the jungle, Tony Graziani threw a Hail Mary pass that bounced off the net, and the Avengers beat the Predators on the last play of the game. I think Orlando's going to have revenge on their mind for this one, but Los Angeles doesn't have Tony Graziani anymore, so they are a different team. But then again, so is Orlando. They are still pretty beat up right now. They've got a major issue here. If they want to have any kind of run during the playoffs, they need to get back their help. They need to get back their hurt players, which means don't rush them back. Plus, they can't get anybody else hurt in the process. And they have to keep winning in order to get to the playoffs anyway, which is easier said than done. I don't know what game this is going to be, but it's going to be on, I don't know what kind of game this is going to be, but it's going to be on NBC. It's going to be nationally televised on Sunday. So you can expect maybe some curling updates during halftime if I know NBC. This is going to be a tight game, and I'm going to say Orlando wins just because they're at home. I'm going to give them home field advantage. Look for like a 3-point game here, but they're going to get their revenge, and I think they're going to beat Los Angeles at home. Dallas travels to Chicago. Now, here are two pretty hot teams here. Chicago kind of started off rough, but they seem to have found their feet, and they're taking on Dallas, who's 4-1 right now. This is another nationally televised game, but I think this is going to be the West Coast game here on Sunday. I'm going to go with Dallas to beat Chicago. This is the reason why I got quiet is because I'm actually writing this down right now so I can make sure that I get this. What I do is I write this down and I pin it onto my screen here, and then I go through and I check them off at the end of the day on Sunday. Next, Grand Rapids at Colorado. Let's not overanalyze this one. Colorado basically embarrassed Philadelphia last week. Grand Rapids, yeah, you're coming along and you're making progress, but I don't think you're any match for Colorado, especially at home. Tampa Bay on the road at Kansas City. This is actually an interesting game for me because I'm going to break down and I'm going to buy that AFL Net thing this week and I'm going to check out that game. I've never watched a game on AFL Net, so I don't know exactly what the quality is going to be like. But one of the things I'm going to do for next week, my homework assignment, is I'm actually going to spend the money so you don't have to. I'm going to watch this game, and I'm going to tell you exactly how it was and whether or not it's worth it. Tampa Bay beat Austin. Now they're traveling to Kansas City, who scored 19 points last week. You know, this reminds me of during the NFL season when the Buccaneers went to San Francisco. After San Francisco got blown out by Washington, like 54-3 or some sickening number like that, and then San Francisco came back and actually beat Tampa Bay on the road that game, and San Francisco was winless at the time and basically embarrassed the Bucs. Same type of situation, but the only difference is Tampa Bay is not starting a rookie quarterback. They've got probably the hottest quarterback in the league in Shane Stafford, who I alluded to earlier. I think Tampa Bay wins, and I think they win big. Look for a big road win here from Tampa Bay as they take out the Brigade. And Philadelphia travels to Las Vegas to take on the Gladiators. Las Vegas hasn't had much punch lately, and Philadelphia is probably still smarting from that win or from that loss to Colorado at home. This game's on OLN, which I heard the coverage is a little shady on OLN. Can't we just get a decent television network to cover these freaking games? I mean, the best coverage here in Florida is on Sunshine Network, which is basically FSN. Can't we just get someone decent to cover these games? I mean, NBC doesn't even really pay attention to the sport, even when it's on. OLN, well, they're brand new. Maybe they'll get better. AFL Net, well, we'll find out how that is. Come on, guys, get it together. Philadelphia's going to win this one. They're going to get their revenge on Las Vegas. They're going to get their revenge on Las Vegas, get back in the win column, and things are going to shape up from there. So those are my picks. 9-0 last week. I just thought I would remind you one more time because, well, quite frankly, no one else is going to pay attention.
Who the hell do you think you are?
I'll tell you who I am. I'm the smartest freaking guy on this website because I don't see any of you guys picking 9-0. And don't forget to call my 800 number and get my picks for this week because I have inside information that'll make you a winner when you go and gamble illegally on the internet. So don't forget to do that. And that's your homework assignment for the week. Well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of The Expert Fan.
Are you happy now?
Yes, I am. So we are going to enjoy a week's worth of games. I actually don't have a live game to go to this weekend because the storm are on the road here. But you know something? If things calm down a little bit, I might take the drive up to Orlando and go and check out that Los Angeles Predator game there in Orlando. And no, it's just an excuse, I guess, to go to the Nike Factory Outlet that's up there, which is one of my favorite stores, and I always make it a point to stop there when I'm in Orlando. But it'll be an arena football weekend for me at home in front of the computer, so like I said, I'm going to check out that AFL.net, and I'll let you guys know next week if it's actually worth spending the money on. One of the members of our fan club over here told me that it's basically just the Jumbotron feed, and with all due respect to the storm here, if it's anything like the Jumbotron feed here, basically, it will be just a still shot of the grass where you will miss every detail and every moment of the play at the most inopportune time. I don't know who's running the camera at the forum, but I guarantee the drugs he's on are better than anything that you're getting because he's getting a little bit too much out of the wall, and that's what he's focusing on. So, hopefully Kansas City has a pretty decent Jumbotron over there, because if it's anything what I think it's going to be like, well, we'll check it out and I'll let you know if it's worth like the $7 or the $40 for the entire season. Anyway, enjoy week 6. I hope you all have a fantastic weekend. I will see you next week. I will have my homework assignment done for you, and let's see if we can duplicate last week's 9-0 performance in the pick segment.
Oh, indeed I can.
Yes, I know I keep harping on it, but you know something? I'm actually quite proud of it. It didn't win me any money, but you know, it's bragging rights, at least for another couple of days. Have a great weekend, and we will see you next week on The Expert Fan.